This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Bird struck him out looking. The Cardinals are going to Michigan to take on the Tigers.
Holiday out to deep right. Yes.
Playing in a high drive to center field. Get up, baby. Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah. David Freeze has just sent us in the game number 7.
Driven in.
Jim Cromer.
They're talking about what you're talking about. Welcome to Ruffled Feathers from the Two Birds on a Bat Show.
You are listening to Ruffled Feathers right here at Two Birds on a Bat. We're coming to you from the patio studios. This show is brought to you by Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. The show is also brought to you by Adam's Smokehouse. The best barbecue in St. Louis. St. Louis, here's your cue. All right, special day here for Ruffled Feathers at Two Birds on a Bat. We have a group that I talk to, another podcast that I talk to annually, because we probably can only do that once with each other. But every time the Cubs and Cardinals go to face off or kick off a series, we've done this, what, fellas, about 3 years in a row now, where we've met up before the first season series. I'm here with the gentleman from the Cubs Cards cast. We have John Pierman, who is a Cubs fan. I know, gosh, you know, for Two Birds on a Bat listeners, you guys are probably sick of me because I've been bringing Cub fans on here left and right with the team arrivals have joined up with me a couple times. This is the other one. This podcast actually preceded ours for Team Arrivals podcast. They had the concept first. We stole it and ran with it. The other host here is the Cardinals fan, Dan Curry, both located, I think, in the Chicago area. I think John moved up to Wisconsin. But gentlemen, it's great to see you again. And I think the circumstances are going to be much better today, but I am watching Twitter because what happened last year when we met up, we found out while recording the game had been canceled because several Cardinals players and staff had tested with COVID. And I don't know, fellas, that was the most depressing moment of my podcasting career. It was awful. I think we're okay today, though.
Well, I'm not sure if we can categorize the most depressing day in our podcasting career because there have been many, but it's nice to be on a real podcast for once.
Yeah, amen to that. And I do think that, you know, the Cardinals did make the best of it. You know, I once they finally actually got through the COVID protocols, they were driving to games and sweeping teams in the Chicago area. I'm just thankful it wasn't mine.
Yeah, we never got a chance to really connect after that. But I do give them a lot of credit for not only coming back and making the most out of the schedule that they were left with, several doubleheaders. It was a sprint, and to their credit, they made it. They did well enough to at least make it to playoff contention. Now, how they showed up and what kind of shape they showed up in the first round of the playoffs against the Padres is debatable at best, but I think they made the most out of a year. But
Ron, the Cubs haven't played in St. Louis since 2019.
That's right. It's their first visit. I forget that often. Every game last year between the Cubs and Cardinals was in Chicago. And I got to tell you, I was a little disappointed that the Cardinals didn't wear home whites during the home games. I wanted nothing more than to see that Cardinals in home whites at Wrigley Field and the Cubs have to wear their road uniforms. I think that would have been a nice little touch, but they didn't do it.
John, can you give us a review of the Cubs in the playoffs now that we're talking about the playoffs last year? Can you give us an analysis of the Cubs' performance in the playoffs last year?
Did the Cubs make the playoffs?
I don't know.
Won the division, but I thought we skipped that. But yeah, it didn't go well. The previous year that the Cubs were in the playoffs, which wasn't 2019, but was 2018. So early exits, that's our thing now.
Yeah, I think the National League Central was 1-6 in the playoffs last year. I think all of them got swept. And the Brewers, a sub-500 team, made it, which still it doesn't sit well with a lot of people that a sub-500 team can make the playoffs. It's why many of us don't like that notion of an expanded playoff, I guess. I guess they were talking about 16 teams at one point.
The Cubs and Cardinals both scored. That's more than we can say about the Reds.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of the division, guys, on our side, we've talked about it many times, and I think that the standings look a little bit right now. About a quarter, we're just past the quarter mark of the season, so the standings kind of look like we thought they would at this point, John. But what about you from the Cubs fan perspective? Did you expect them to be a little bit worse right now with their record, a little bit better? Like, where did you think they would fall a quarter way into the season?
Yeah, we're only, you know, a game over 500, so it's not like the team's playing outstanding baseball. This is exactly where I would have guessed the Cubs would be, because what I'm anticipating is a major sell-off mid-season here, which will lead to a bad second half record, and that's where the Cubs are going to probably arrive, in that 76 to 78 win area here. But you know, in the meantime, we will have sold off all of the relevant pieces to try to rebuild the minor league system here. And it's going to be frustrating, because the Cubs may never end up being more than five or six games out by the time the sell-off begins, and people are going to be frustrated by that. But that's the plan, I think.
Well, at least it's no secret, right? You know, that's the plan this year. It's a matter of, where are these guys going to go? What are you going to get in return for them? And what is the next step that Chicago looks at developing? You know, before the formula was, you know, we'll pay for pitching, we're going to develop position players. Is it going to be more of a mix going forward? Is it going to be, you know, we're going to focus on pitching, because we've seen around the league that more times than not, that's really what gets you there in a sustained way, right, is to develop that pitching in-house. Do you think they'll take more of a focus on that?
Well, it's Jed Hoyer's organization now, not Theo Epstein's, and some wonder whether he has his own thing or whether he just does Theo's thing. But regardless, the one big trade he made is the Yu Darvish trade. And what did we get back there? And not a single pitcher. These are younger than young guys that you have their lottery tickets. You have a chance at hitting big with, you know, one or two of these guys. I wouldn't be surprised to see more of the same in that respect, because I think they still feel like, whether they're right or wrong, they're better able to develop pitchers with their own pitch lab. They view that as a competitive advantage right now, and they're seeing results on that with the bullpen guys that the Cubs have had, that a lot of people don't know these names, but they've been effective. And it's a lot of the spin rate and, you know, plane-related pitching, you know, pitching to a certain eye level and all that good stuff. So I think that they're going to go after a bunch of pitchers and trades? I do not, unless somebody's offering up an A-level prospect or rookie ball-level prospect that, you know, that they can get in one of these trades. But I do anticipate everybody's going. I'd love for them to re-sign Bryant. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think everybody else is for sale, including Hendricks.
I would love to have stolen Bryant in the offseason, but
you can sign him next year.
But we made an acquisition I'm rather happy with, and Dan, so we've covered it on this show, and I'm certain you guys have as well. Just having those two guys at the corner infield positions has made a world of difference. And yes, we lost a Gold Glove second baseman, but I think if you net everything out, our defense is statistically, it might not be better than it was last year at this point in time, but you've got to look around and go, we've got speed all over the outfield, guys that can, all of them can play center field. But they occupy the outfield. Now the corners of our infield are as good as, I mean, that's back to when Albert was a really good first baseman and Scott Rolen was manning third base. Like, we have that again. So defense has been excellent. I don't know if it's number one in the league or not. I'm not looking up defensive statistics. I'm out of stats at this point.
Well, the Cubs are number one in team defense in the National League, number two overall. I have to say, I've never seen outfield play like I saw the Cardinals put on the Brewers a couple series ago, where there was just no chance that anything would fall anywhere in the outfield. There were balls scalded into the gap that, you know, Bader and Carlson were making look easy. You know, to the point where I actually had to text Dan and compliment him on his outfield defense, which pained me. So, it is impressive when they're healthy.
Well, I really can't take any credit for their outfield defense because I'm sitting in front of a computer. But I will say, though, getting back to the Cubs, I have to throw in one more shot. And I do think the Cubs have made progress. They have the best junior high level talent in Major League Baseball right now, just based off that San Diego Padres trade. But no, you know, the one thing before we get on to what you just asked about, it's completely flipped. The Cardinals, a few years ago, their whole thing was let's draft college age pitchers like Michael Walker and so forth. And now the Cardinals are drafting high school hitters like Jordan Walker. And John Mozeliak finally realized you have to have a few left-handed throwers and hitters. And so he's been drafting a lot of left-handed hitting guys when a couple of years ago it was kind of revealed they had like no left-handed hitters in the whole system. So the Cubs seem to be drafting a lot more pitchers at the moment. So it's like completely flipped, which is interesting because a few years ago, the Chicago media at least was saying, hey, Theo's figured out the new formula. The new formula is hitters are more reliable. So just focus on hitters and you can always get free agent pitchers. But of course, Theo left the building and, his developmental work is not exactly great. I mean, he's certainly won a couple of times, but he has a tendency to leave organizations in shambles. So,
I mean, yeah, you had a case study in Boston, and when he left there, it wasn't in the best shape. But teams like Boston, those that have deep pockets, they can buy their way out of it quicker than what, say, a Kansas City Royals or Pittsburgh Pirates type team do. You do that much damage to a small market team, it takes them a decade to recover from that. Whereas if you're Boston, in 2 or 3 years, they were right back at it, right? I think it was 2013, so it was just a few years after he had left. But speaking of big hits, how about the Cardinals pitching? If there's one thing that they've survived on over the last couple of years, it's been run prevention, and that's defense and pitching. And they've been they've done really well over the last couple of years in those departments. Their bullpen was really good. This year, speaking of flipping, it's flipped around a little bit. That bullpen is really shaky with only maybe, what, two or three reliable arms that Schilt likes to go to often, and a pitching staff that is really questionable after you get past starters one and two. A little bit different than what we typically face. So wouldn't you know it, as soon as we get somewhat of an offense figured out, now the pitching's starting to fall apart a little bit in the bullpen, and it was nothing but walk city over the weekend. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. What was it, 24, 26 walks or something like that over a three-game set? It was crazy.
Yeah. I think, though, that this is easily rectified because the situation you had is the Cardinals are deep pitching, but at the beginning of the year they had to take Gant and Aviato to take a lot of starts. But now with Michaelis coming back and presumably Martinez this weekend, you could move Gant back in the bullpen and somebody else, like you could even put Aviato or Ponce de Leon or somebody like that and take away innings from Tyler Webb and a couple other guys that are the problem with the Cardinals bullpen right now is really just the middle part of it. That's where the problem is. The back end is rock solid with, Cabrera and Gallegos and Reyes have been great. That's as good a back three as anybody in baseball. And the other, Ryan Helsley's come along too, and he's getting better and better. So, you get the, they need a couple of multi-inning guys in the middle, and then I think their bullpen is really good. And Gant is a great bullpen guy. He doesn't want to be a bullpen guy, but, he's the kind of guy that can give you two or three innings and bridge you to the back. You can't pitch him every day doing that, but it's a great that's what the Cardinals need to do to fix it. I think it's easily fixable.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think – I agree with you on that one. I think it's fixable. But, John, did you detect a little bit of disgust in Dan's voice there when he said the name, tried to say the name Tyler Webb? Like, it just came out a lot slower, a little bit more anger.
Well, Tyler Webb, it must have pictures on Schilt or something, because that guy would have been DFA'd off of any team, let alone a first-place team, but he would have been DFA'd off a last-place team by now, as far as I can tell. So it's pretty shocking.
It's worse than that. I think he's actually Schilt's son. If you look at him, they look like father and son.
Oh, when he has the, especially with the whole glasses thing going on. Yeah. I wonder
I have a ringing phone in the background. I apologize.
Oh, that's good. I didn't even hear it. I always looked at Schilt and I'm like, he's definitely the guy that buys that protection plan on his Best Buy purchase every time. And I think maybe Tyler Webb does too. It might be one DNA test we can perform on him.
But Dan has developed a new version of the disabled list, which is now the injured list. But there's, there were always guys that ended up on the injured list that weren't really injured. And Dan calls that the Brett Cecil list, which is where Andrew Miller is living right now.
Right.
You might find it. If you want to keep Webb, you might just find a way to get him onto the Brett Cecil list.
Brett Cecil list. I like that. The BCL.
Yeah.
So the other thing, since I've got you guys on here, the other, big news that happened, less than 2 weeks ago now, and that, speaking of DFA, it's what reminded me of it. Our buddy, our friend, who departed in the winter of 2011, Albert Pujols, DFA'd by the Angels. How did that land on you, Dan? Did you see this one coming, or did you think they would ride out that contract at the end of the year like the Cardinals are with Matt Carpenter?
No, I didn't see it coming when it, I didn't think that they would do it in the beginning of the year like this. That's pretty cold blooded, a guy like that, regardless of how bad he's been playing the last couple of years, the fact is he's one of the, the greatest baseball players in major league history. And, just to DFA him in May is really strange. It doesn't really happen too often. Later in the year, sometimes a guy like that might get DFA'd, but you think at the beginning of the year they'd say, we're either going to bring him back or ride him out for the whole year. So, yeah, I was very surprised at that.
Yeah, same here. And, of course, as soon as it happens, Cardinals fans are talking about the possibility of him returning in what could be his last year. I think Albert landed in a pretty good spot, though. All of a sudden, he's now with a playoff contender. We know the Dodgers are going to be there at the end of the year. And he doesn't have to move. And they've got some opportunity to give him immediately because they do have a lot of key injuries on their club. I just don't think the Cardinals would have had at-bats for him. Hey, it would have been the fan in me. It would have been really cool seeing him back in St. Louis. It would have been great. And if Albert's going to – the most fans he can pull into a stadium is definitely in St. Louis. You send him anywhere else, you might get a few extra tickets sold, but not like it would be in St. Louis. It would get so much attention here. So the fan in me totally wanted to see it, but the business side of me understands it. They just didn't have the opportunities, and I don't think they had the opportunities they were willing to give up just to get him at-bats. So they weren't going to bring him in just to pursue 700 home runs. Now, if they adopt a DH next year, the National League, which I do think will happen, and if there's not a big work stoppage, I do think the possibility exists for them to bring him in for one last year. But we'll see.
I was in St. Louis actually last weekend while he was still in DFA limbo. And it was interesting just watching the local newscasts, the man on the street interviews, the demand out there for him and so forth. Hey, it confirms everything you just said about the fact that he definitely would have sold tickets. And people were disappointed. But people were ready to sit Goldschmidt to put Pujols at first. I brought it up to Dan last week on the podcast, and I'm interested in your thought on this, Ron. I think Pujols has to be the greatest Cardinal player of all time. And, the old man Curry, can't let Stan Musial be unseated in that respect. Where do you stand on Pujols' ranking in all-time Cardinals?
I think he's up there probably number two or three. And I agree with Dan because of Stan's longevity with the Cardinals. Like he had, now as far as the best 10 years a Cardinal has ever performed, if you ask me that question, I say it's Albert Pujols, not a question, but
isn't it the best 10 years for any major league player?
Babe Ruth in there. Yeah. They compare him all the time. And it's staggering when you see it compared to Mike Trout's first 10 or 11 years. And you look at it and you're like, holy shit, it's comparable, but the gap is considerably bigger than what most of us think about how that performance is. So over a 10 year span, Albert Pujols is definitely the best player I have ever seen with my own eyes play. I didn't get a chance to see Stan Musial, but I think if you just look at the whole body of work, the longevity, he was kind of the first one, so it's hard to unseat that, right? A lot of people that don't know any better will tell you Babe Ruth was the best player of all time. They may be right, but since that name was the first one there, it's hard to unseat that guy.
Well, you guys hit John Mozeliak a lot, and I'll shut up, Dan, and let you finish this. But, you got to give Mozeliak credit for walking away when he did, because he bought the good 10 years and gave up the bad 10 years. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's undeniable, really, that Stan Musial is the greatest Cardinal. I mean, because even though Albert did have the best 10-year period, at the end of his career, I would argue that Musial's career is probably ahead of Pujols' career, not in number of home runs, but in most of the other categories.
Yeah, like batting average is, you know, Pujols has now dipped under 300. I think when he left, his lifetime batting average was like 323. It was something ridiculous. But we can't talk about batting average anymore. It's an icky stat. Nobody likes it. We have to talk about hard hit percentage, and we have to talk about exit velocity. It's the only thing that matters. I mean, because that's it doesn't, the results don't matter anymore, guys. It's how well they hit it when they hit it, whether they hit it right at a third baseman or whatever. I mean, that's what the world likes to talk about now. It's someday this madness is going to end, and we're going to realize that, yes, there are stats that are unique and important to the game, but nothing's going to beat that shit that was on the back of all of our baseball cards. We all have a context in our brain for what those numbers mean. We have decades where we go back and we compare the numbers we all know, like batting average and home runs and everything, and it means something to us. And it will again soon. You just can't talk about it with the young people right now. We just have to be quiet for a while, let the dust settle, and batting average will be a stat we're allowed to speak to.
Just for the record, I never saw Stan Musial. I first started, our family moved to St. Louis in 1964, which is the first year he was not playing. He had retired at the end of the 63 season. So not that I'm that far off from seeing him. So, but I never did see him play. So
one last minor Musial point. I was in Dierbergs in St. Louis last weekend, one of the grocery stores, as you guys know. In the liquor section, they're selling beer that has Pujols' name or number on it, or even Goldschmidt or Arenado, but Stan Musial number 6 beer. I think it's a Budweiser product.
It is. Yeah.
And I was just saying to Dan, you know, can you imagine you go to your buddy's house and you know, they bring you a beer or something like that. You know, you always know they're pulling from the back of the fridge anyway, but if somebody hands you something with Stan Musial's number on it, you're gonna be like, how old is this shit? I mean, seriously, this is gonna be the oldest beer around, right? If this guy had stopped playing by the time Curry started going to ball games, that's an old beer.
I've only seen pictures of it. I don't know if those taste any different. It was a special batch or whatever, but before we continue talking about the game of beer, just want to remind everybody you can find us at twobirdsonabat.com. Please click subscribe to the podcast. When you go to that page, it takes only about 30 seconds, and best of all, it's free. You can find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. On Facebook, just search Two Birds on a Bat. On Instagram, at Two Birds on a Bat Show. You can also find us on lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. Who do we got going tonight, guys? Who's on the hill?
Well, it's Hendricks, the new improved Kyle Hendricks against C-Mart coming off the injured list, not the Brett Cecil list, right?
He's coming off the golf course, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure that Hendricks always baffles you guys. I don't know. I mean, you've seen him so much. I can't imagine there's any mystery here, you know, as to what you, and maybe it's just that you don't have a lot of left-handed hitters. I think it helps a lot to have a good, you know, couple left-handed hitters in your lineup. And that's an area that's lacking, you know, year after year. But this is the only game I feel particularly good about. So if this doesn't go well, then we're talking sweep.
Yeah, the Cardinals can't hit Hendricks at all.
It's a mystery. Yeah.
They just go up there wailing on him. You know, the guy that actually might hit him pretty well, just looking at his batting style and the fact he hasn't probably faced him before, is Sosa. Sosa kind of waits back on the ball pretty well and just like lashes at the last second. That's the way you got to hit Hendricks. You know, these guys, these other guys just try to, I don't know. They all get bewildered that he has a changeup. They know he has a changeup and they're just like, oh my God, a changeup. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, they faced him for 6 or 7 years now and haven't been able to figure it out. So it is quite strange. It's not like Kyle Hendricks is up there overpowering anybody. It's just, I know his strategies must be, hey, these guys are swinging for the launch angle or something. I'm just going to let them beat themselves. And more times than not, that's what I see.
So do you think Martinez and Michaelis are going to be on pitch counts the next 2 days?
Boy, I don't know. I would
think so.
Yeah. I would think so. I would think especially Michaelis, who's been out the longest. And the truth is, like, we don't really know what we're getting from him. He hasn't pitched at this level for quite some time. And, you know, to expect that, you know, just like when Jordan Hicks came back, which he's out again, but when he came back, you didn't know. You can't expect those guys being out that long to have that kind of surgery to come back throwing the exact same way they did when they left. I don't know. Glad to see him back. Glad that we can move another piece back to the bullpen, but I don't know. It's a kind of a wait and see. I don't know what we're going to get from him.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to need to have you know, at least one long person available, you know, like a, I don't know. Schilt has a very, you know, everybody in town was always on Matheny for not using the long reliever. Remember that all the time they were saying, oh, he's got a long reliever, but he will never use them because he's saving them for the right situation.
Well, Matt Bowman's warming up right now.
Right. And, you know, they hardly ever use, what's his name? Woodford. Jake Woodford never gets to pitch.
Well, they got Ponce de Leon back up with the team now. So I think your long guy, and if one of these guys can't make it past the fourth inning, they did bring Ponce de Leon back up. So that's probably your long guy that I could see him going to. And Ponce de Leon in that rotation, Dan, I don't know how you felt about this. I didn't like it at the beginning of the year because without knowing, it's not right in front of me, but I just feel like every time I would look up and it'd be the third inning and he'd have like 68 pitches already. And it's just like he racks them up.
You know, I think he's much better suited as a reliever just simply because he's all he's got's a fastball and a little cutter or whatever that is. And, you know, that plays better as a reliever, I think. You know, he probably could dial it up pretty over 95 as a reliever, I would think. He throws, what, 94 or 95 as a starter as it is. And he kind of reminds me of, he doesn't throw as hard as Joe Kelly, but, he, you know, remember Joe Kelly kind of struggled as a starter for the Cardinals, and his pitch count would always run up, and you'd say, God, you know, he's good, but, you know, you can't pitch like that. And that's kind of Ponce de Leon. You look at that, and same kind of deal. And I think he could be good as a reliever, but obviously he's got to quit walking, guys.
Walking, you know? That's been the thing.
Interesting, the biggest difference between the Cubs and Cardinals right now is, you know, if you're playing the Cubs, you want the Cubs to leave their starter in. And if you're playing the Cardinals, you want them to take their starter out, you know, generally speaking. Because the middle of your bullpen, you know, getting to that seventh or eighth inning has been the hard part for you guys, the bridge part. And the Cubs bullpen is, you know, over the last 3 weeks, the best bullpen in baseball, getting a lot of good innings from, you know, some young guys and some old guys. And, so, yeah, but the second and third time through the order on the Cubs starters, it's batting practice, especially the third time through the order. You know, we're talking, you know, 100-point jump for the Cubs five starters from the first time to the second time through the order, and then 150-point jump for the third time through the order. So, you know, it's significant. And, you know, Alzolay has good stuff. You know, his slider is now top three or top four in all of baseball, but the guys are figuring out to take it, and especially the experienced hitters. So I would watch Goldschmidt and Arenado in particular. They're going to take his slider, and then he's going to throw the 94-mile-an-hour fastball, and that's been landing in the seats with some regularity. So, you know, the best thing for the Cubs this whole weekend, as I see it, is that we don't have to face Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, I'm glad we used him on the Pirates. You know, and so you got Martinez going tonight, so crapshoot. I don't know. Are we going to miss him someday, Dan? This permanent wild card player that you don't quite know. He could have a game where he goes eight innings and gives up one run and just looks fantastic, or he can have that one implode inning, which happens a lot. It could be inning three, four, somewhere around there. So if he gets past three or four innings, I like the Cardinals' chances tonight. If he doesn't,
You know, Martinez, after his first couple years, when he was a starter, he every time he would go out for a start, he would be debuting a different windup. I don't know if you noticed that. Like, he did this whole thing where he was standing really straight up and down, and he would pitch that way. And then the next time out, he would be kind of bending over more when he threw. And it was just like he was experimenting every, you know, and it was like the first couple innings were an adventure. You know, that first inning, a lot of times he'd always put like two or three guys on, and then he would settle down, but sometimes he settled down and his pitch count was already irretrievably high. I mean, they were talking about him, you know, in the same breath as Pedro Martinez at one time.
I remember that.
He had that kind of stuff. If he had kept kind of on the same trajectory he was on, you know, he could have really been up there, but, you know, it's the focus level on him. You just mentioned, somebody mentioned him playing golf, and I can't imagine, you can't keep his focus pitching. Can you imagine him playing golf?
I can imagine him trying a different driver every time. Just until something.
Can you
stuck.
Imagine how bent his clubs are from the frustrations and him taking it? We always viewed him as like a better version, maybe, of Carlos Zambrano as Cub fans, you know. And Zambrano did have his good days, but they didn't last very long. But, you know, Martinez was kind of that guy of, you know, if he had kept it all together, he would have been what Zambrano could have been. But now we see that, you know, with him regressing the last couple of years and becoming, you know, continuing to be inconsistent, he's just never realized his potential. And maybe it's better to put him back in the bullpen to where he doesn't have to focus for five or six or seven innings. Maybe he's more valuable there, but I don't know who,
instead of him. If they had a better 1-4, at least, I think that's where you would find him, John. You hold out on that hope that he figures something out and you get him for a good part of the season where he's a little bit more locked in. Cause when he is, we've all said it, when he is locked in, he can be one of the best. It's just consistently staying there has been the issue. We were debating last night cause you brought up Carlos Zambrano, and the Gatorade cooler that he beat the shit out of that one year. And we were just wondering like has that guy killed somebody yet? And just, we don't know about it. Cause I think he's a high candidate.
Well, I can give you an update on Carlos Zambrano. He actually found Jesus, I'm happy for him on all that. But he, from what I understand, he gave up his nightclub ways, and he's now helping youth in
Venezuela, right?
And he's actually coaching a couple of pro prospects down there as well, and can still hit the better left-handed than any left-hander other than Dylan Carlson in the Cardinals lineup.
He did swing a pretty good bat.
Yeah. You
know who when you look at Carlos Martinez now, even though he's not having a good season this year, the guy for the Reds, the supposed ace for the Reds,
Castillo.
Who?
Castillo.
Luis Castillo.
Yes. I mean, they are like, when you look at their windups and their stuff, they're pretty much carbon copies of each other.
I think it's a pretty good comparison. I thought you were going to go Johnny Cueto route.
No.
That's where I thought he was going to.
No. But Martinez, you know, has gave the Cardinals about four starts in a row that were pretty good, really good. The last one before he got hurt, you know, he said afterwards that, his ankle was screwed up, celebrating. It was a home run by Flaherty, but like the night before he was jumping up and down. And I did notice
one more reason pitchers shouldn't hit, I guess, right?
Right. Yeah. I did notice that last start, he did seem to be, you know, kind of not as aggressive as he had been the previous three or four starts. I mean, doesn't throw 95, 96 much anymore. I think he still has it, but he's just not even he's not even trying to do it. And he's just trying to throw strikes, and he's got like these four pitches. He's got a lot of movement, and he's got a lot of variety. So, you know, he's got the toolkit. It's just a matter of, screwing his head on straight, and he still can be a really good pitcher. So we'll see what happens tonight.
Yeah. I mean, most major leaguers, they all have the physical ability to be the best in the game. It's how they manage that 12 to 18 inches above their shoulders that separates all of them. Right. So
but wouldn't you like to walk out on the mound with this stuff though?
Oh yeah, certainly. But you know, hey, look, the only record I ever produced in baseball, my amateur career, I got hit by the most pitches in my high school season ever. It was like 12 in like 26 games. I got hit 12 times. Don't know how. I was basically like Anthony Rizzo, just hanging over the plate, asking for it. And I got it. I got it a lot. Young guys.
Like Ron, you were like Ron Hunt.
I'm someone. It was my right thigh most times would get plunked by somebody just learning how to throw a curve and start it in the middle of the plate. And it would just come right at me so many times.
So you were left-handed then, right?
Left-handed, yeah. Before we get on to a few more topics here, just want to thank our featured partners, starting with Mike and his wonderful crew at Adams Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Adams is home to the best barbecue in St. Louis. They do big box orders, catering, and of course, in-house dining. If you want the full experience, head on down to Adams Smokehouse, meet Mike and the gang, decide from their awesome menu. You are not going to be disappointed. That's our friends at Adams Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. And finally, don't forget our friends at Gators Baseball Academy, located in both Missouri and Illinois. If you're looking for the right organization to help your youngster with the game of baseball or softball, look no further than the Gators Baseball Academy and their four-pillar system. To learn more, check them out at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. So we got a couple more games in the series to talk about. It looks like Miles Michaelis and Alzolay are facing off on Saturday. And then Sunday, we shift over to the game I feel most comfortable with right now, and that would be Adam Wainwright against Zach Davies. I think a best-case scenario for the Cardinals, they probably come out of the series with 2 out of 3. Sweeps are hard to do. Either they're going to get swept or sweep. That's rare. So I think the Cardinals probably, Dan, I feel like they come out of this 2 out of 3. I think they need to. It's the first time the Cubs have been in St. Louis for 2 years. I can't let them take the series. My God, you got to pull out all the stops.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard one to predict. I mean, Hendricks, you know, kills the Cardinals, but, you know, he's been on and off this year. Davies is an on and off pitcher. He's been mostly fairly bad this year, but you know Davies can turn in a gem anytime. You know, occasionally he's just unhittable when he's on, so he's got that capability. There are some wild cards, you know, even with Hendricks, the Cardinals not having hit Hendricks. Arenado, I'm not sure what he's done against Hendricks over the years, but he might give them a different look. And I said, like I said, Sosa is probably going to be playing short, right? Because DeYoung is still on the IR.
Or Edmund will be at short. Edmund will be at short, and they'll have Carpenter, who's a left-handed bat, at second base. That could be.
I hope not.
Did they put the lineup out yet? That's the question.
You know, Sosa really played well in the last two or three games, and defensively and offensively. And I know it's the Pirates, but he's not a bad ball player. I'm not saying he should take over for DeYoung, but he's a borderline major league starting shortstop, in my opinion. What do you think? What do you guys think? John hasn't seen him, probably.
I've only seen pieces of him. I haven't seen him play an entire game.
Yeah, it's about the same here. He probably, if it weren't for injury, he wouldn't be up right now. He'd be spending his time in Memphis. You're still on Sosa, right? Or did you move off of that?
Sosa.
Okay. Yeah, I think he'd be in Memphis right now getting his reps in, if not for an injury. But I think he's made the most out of this opportunity. And we'll see what happens when DeYoung gets healthy and comes back. I know Sosa has been a bench bat for them, has been a utility player, backup for most of this year. But I don't know. Not getting the reps he's used to, I don't know how that's affecting him this year. Would he be more ready, I guess, is my question. I'm almost asking myself a question as I'm talking at the same time. So I'm just, have a strong opinion.
He's not going to win the division, but I think yours is, Ron. So, you know, what's the thing you guys are missing? What's the thing that ends up being your midseason acquisition here? I mm-hmm. know you're going to need bullpen help. Everybody needs that. But what's the one key element that you would add to this team?
Okay, this is going to be a Captain Obvious type of answer because everybody knows this guy. He's a St. Louis native. He's playing for a team that doesn't have a good record right now. We should have signed him years ago, and we didn't, and that would be a starting pitcher. And I'm thinking Max Scherzer. Probably going to cost you a lot, but I think that would be really cool. And it would bring a lot of energy to the ballpark and to the stadium, just bringing him home and having him in a Cardinals uniform to finish out this year. Don't know what it's going to would cost him, and it's not like St. Louis is going to be the only pursuer. So there'll be some competition out there. I think another starting pitcher is a need right now, not just a nice to have. I think it's a need.
Asking price for Justin Verlander when you look back, and that's going to be a comparable situation. Mm-hmm. Really, didn't end up being that high because he had a high salary, you know. But what's left of the $30 million that the Nationals are paying to Scherzer this year is, you know, it's a no brainer for you guys as long as you don't have to give up key prospects. And I think for Detroit, they didn't get much in return for Verlander. I don't know how much Washington can expect for Scherzer, and there's going to be a lot of people available.
It is a coincidence because the Patterson Tire and Service text line that we have was that nearly that same question, John. So you kind of stole you stole the thunder. Sorry. On that one. No, that's okay, because I guess I'll throw one right back at you. But
I don't know what it's like to have a podcast that has sponsors, so I'm not good at this. I apologize.
Okay, so John's question, coincidentally enough, comes to us from the Patterson Tire and Service text line. It allows us to hear from you, the fans. Please give our friends at Patterson Tire and Service an opportunity for your business. Patterson Tire and Service is a whole lot more than a tire store, as they also specialize in automotive repair. Give them a call at 618-797-6711 for a quick quote. Set up an appointment today and head on down to 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois to find out why they are the best in the business. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. So, John, here's a question for you. The likely home for some of these key Cubs players. I think you said the one you'd like to see back would be Chris Bryant, right? Did I have that right?
Yep.
But now there's questions. Are they even going to try to lock up Rizzo long term? Are they going to be able to extend him? Or do you think all these guys are gone? Where do you think they're going to go?
They're $60 million apart on Rizzo right now, which is a lot. He wants Goldschmidt's contract. But, you know, Goldschmidt signed his going into his age 32 season. And, you know, I hate to break it to Anthony Rizzo, who I love dearly. He's not Paul Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt's a better player. He was. He probably still is. Rizzo's beat up. He's got a bad back. And he's been great for the organization, but you can't pay for past performance. So he's gone. Baez, they know, isn't aging well. They know that, you know, so many things that make him good now or made him good a few years ago are going to be worse with age. And so Bryant is the guy that they'd love to sign, but Bryant's represented by Scott Boras. And, you know, I was talking to a coworker about this just yesterday, and, you know, who says no if the Cubs offer him an 8-240 or 8-250? You know, I think that there's still a possibility Bryant gets signed. Everybody else is gone, and Craig Kimbrell is doing a great job of creating value for himself. Hopefully you guys don't destroy any of that this weekend. Keep Carpenter on the bench. There's very little chance any of these guys get re-signed. They're not going to re-sign Wilson Contreras either. And he's a free agent after next year. So all of these guys are going to get dealt. And what will they get back? Probably not a ton. And that's the hard part. If you're Jed Hoyer, you know, if your team is three games out or four games out and you want to sell these guys and they're not offering much in return, do you just keep them and take the draft picks at the end of the season, you know, from qualifying offers being turned down? Or do you try to take what you can get and reach a little further down in the system like they did with Darvish trade to get some, you know, 19-year-olds and hope that they pan out? That's really, you know, unfortunately for Cub fans, what you're looking at is guys that might be good 5 years from now or 6 years from now in return for these guys. And that's the best you're going to get.
So two more questions. That same question John asked me, Dan, I'd be curious your opinion on that. When it comes deadline time, the Cardinals need to make some type of deal, some kind of improvement for the team, assuming they're still in first place and they're in contention and they know they've got a playoff run in them. What do you think they'll go seeking?
I think that the number one thing, there's two things that they need that jump out at me is, you remember in 2011, they brought up Lance Lynn, and he was, I know in the playoffs, I can't remember at the end of the year whether I believe down the stretch, he was a long reliever. I know he was in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I believe down the stretch he was as well. I think that is a really underrated thing in Major League Baseball right now. And I thought it was going to be you have the openers and all that stuff. But outside of that, teams are still kind of traditionally using relievers, you know, your one inning, mm-hmm. sometimes two innings. But I'd like to see the Cardinals get a starting pitcher type that maybe is not in a rotation or somebody who could be a lights out fifth, sixth, seventh inning guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the back of our bullpen, I mean, that's going to win. The Cardinals are losing games. The most common place the Cardinals are losing games are in the fifth, sixth, and, you know, seventh. It's the non-back of the the bullpen. So I'd like to see them get something like that. They obviously need a fourth outfielder type that bats left-handed. I don't think Justin Williams is not the answer.
I'm surprised you guys didn't say that one first. You know, and I know you love Tyler O'Neill, but wouldn't you – there's going to be a million guys you can get who hit left-handed that could play left field that might be better.
Yeah, you need a fourth outfielder in case.
Jock Peterson makes perfect. Let's do this trade right now.
Hey, Jim, who had been doing this show with me, my co-host on here, he was a big advocate for Jock Peterson or Kyle Schwarber. Either one of them would have fit in nicely. I was ready to write Tyler O'Neill off. I thought I had seen enough. To his credit, he's come back and he's looked better. But I still don't know long term if that's the left fielder of the future. But to, you know, look, I'll be happy to eat crow if he puts up great numbers. But I was ready to be done with it because I thought a left-handed bat was needed. And so I wanted to see, if for not, no other reason, I wanted to see Schwarber hitting bombs against the Cubs this year in a Cardinals uniform, and that would have just been worth it right there.
Yeah, he hit two for the Nationals against the Cubs, I think, two or three,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they had a nice little tribute for him at the game. I saw the video out on Twitter. They Cubs did the right thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, a lefty banger would be key for you guys. And then, you know, you're getting Jordan Hicks back too. Assuming he's healthy when you get him back and able to stay there, then you've basically got 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, locked down in your bullpen. You don't even need that great a start, honestly, if you got that type. You've got that Kansas City Royals potential shutdown bullpen there. So I'd be getting some guys that can put some numbers on the board. And that's the one thing that I see here is that, you know, you can pitch around Arenado, and if nobody else is hurting you, you guys are going to have trouble scoring runs.
That's why we are a kaleidoscope of thought whenever we get together. And this is why we all podcast, because we didn't all have the same answer. That's great. John wants a left-handed bat. Dan wants a middle reliever, and I want Max Scherzer, and that's what makes all of this so great. Well, guys,
well, maybe you can get all three. Who knows?
Well, let's see. Maybe. Maybe Mozeliak's got some magic there, or Mike Gersh if he's the actual GM. I don't know. I just think it's still
well. He's always been so active at the deadline. Wait, oh, no, that's right.
No, not really.
The one thing that's good, I mean, there's a lot of good things about the Arenado thing, but you know, Arenado still has a opt-out after this year. And if the Cardinals are hanging on the cliff here at the deadline, I think Mozeliak is much more likely to make a move this year because of that.
That's a good point.
Than he was the last couple of years.
Yep, that's an interesting point. Maybe you want to show that effort or that gesture there to say, hey, we brought you here. The promise that we're going to be contenders year in and year out. So if there's a glaring need at that point in time, it would probably be in the team's best interest for their future to go ahead and make that improvement. I think that would be a big statement. It's a good point, John. I didn't think about it that way. Or sorry, Dan. Used to That's John. Right. Used to John making the good points, but Dan, you had one there.
Oh, wow.
All right, guys, we're about out of time here. I've got to get going, but guys, where can everybody find you out on Twitter? I know you exist there most often like we do. We've kind of migrated away from this Facebook thing.
Cubs Cards Cast at Cubs Cards Cast. And that's our website is CubsCardsCast.com. We don't even know what Instagram is.
Instagram? Well, I don't either. I think Pete set that one up for us. So, and then Jim already had it taken care of for the Birds on a Bat show. Just remind everybody, you can find us on twobirdsonabat.com. Check us out on Twitter at Birds on a Bat show, on Instagram at twobirdsonabat, and search for us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. All right, fellas. Hey, thank you so much for hooking up with us again to kick off the Cubs Cardinals. The real season begins, in my opinion, and it starts tonight. I'm excited. We didn't get any notifications or texts that the game had been canceled this time, so much better than last year. But gentlemen, thanks again for joining me.
All right, thanks, Ron. You guys are great. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
All right, everyone. We'll be back same time, same place next week as we fire up the engine here on Ruffled Feathers and Two Birds on a Bat. Until then, we love you all so much. Let's go, Birds.